Well, welcome again to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. I'm here with Elena Svetzlot, and my name is Dr. Scott Taransky, and we love talking about parenting. So we try to take the common issues that parents are facing today and help parents understand what a heart-based approach looks like to address those. It's a different way of thinking in many cases. You know, many parents are using reward punishment to solve problems, and it just comes up short. And so what we're trying to do is help parents grasp something deeper. So Elena, welcome again today, and why don't you go ahead and introduce this particular topic?
Hi, Dr. Scott. Yes, it's really exciting to be back with you and also to talk about a topic which is really so critical today in our technology revolving lives, digital age. Today, we want to talk about how do we develop integrity in the lives of our children and how do we help them cultivate honesty, develop conscience, a good conscience, and trust, even when actually nobody is watching, when I think that's the most important time even. I'm very excited to hear more and learn more about this, because I think every parent that is listening right now is probably dealing with this one way or another. Our children are more and more online. They're having their own devices. They have access to internet, access to all sorts of websites. So tell us, Dr. Scott, how would you actually define integrity in this manner for children, for young adults?
Yeah, often we quickly go to honesty when it comes to integrity, but I think it's more than that. And I try to help young people realize that integrity is not just about honesty. It's about having internal moral character, that you're going to choose to do what's right, even though no one else is watching. So it's not necessarily about being dishonest. It's having the internal strength. And in some cases, it's not even about, being dishonest. It has to do with, does a child have the internal strength to deal with temptation that they face in life? I mean, that's what integrity is. And I like to define integrity for kids as this internal strength of character. So I use the analogy of a bridge. And if a child has strength of character, then they're like a bridge that's strong enough. In fact, we even say that bridge has integrity to withstand the storms or deal with the big trucks going over it and so on. And so what we're doing is trying to help children grasp this idea that they too need that internal strength to deal with the daily challenges of their lives, the temptations that come their way, or even when they're caught, you know, how to be honest. What does that look like? So very important to address this whole subject.
Yeah. And I mean, for people who have become Christians later in life, parents who have become Christian later in life, you know, I'm one of those parents. I look at things and I realize how many mistakes I made and how many things I did wrong, and that, you know, maybe my integrity was not so strong and my strength was not so strong to be able to, deal with the temptations. And I have such a big fear in myself when I think about my children and when I think about the fact that I would really hate for them to do the things maybe that I did. And, but I don't know how to start learning or teaching them about the integrity. And I mean, it's a big question to ask, Dr. Scott, but get us started a bit on how should we think about it and how should we start bringing this more and more into our children's into our children's life. Let's assume parents listening are Christians and they are, you know, trying to build the right character in their children, and they're trying to build the right qualities how do we know that we're doing the right thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. And you know, as I work with children regularly, and I help parents work with their children, parents often say to me, wow, I need this just as much as my kids do. And that's because the principles that we develop to work with kids are adult principles. We just break them down to developmental stages for kids, because I just love kids. And so that's what I do. And I believe parents are the best counselors for their kids. But any parent could take these same principles and apply them to themselves to be able to address the challenges they face. So, and here's where I think we start. I think we have to start with the conscience. Remember, the conscience is a biblical term. It's used over 30 times in the New Testament. It is a term that refers to this inner mechanism that God has placed inside of every person. And it gives us these little messages that prompt us. It prompts us to, you know, do things that are right or just be responsible. Like I need to pay my bills or get some gas in the car. I mean, it prompts us that way, but it also prompts us to do the right thing when we're tempted to do the wrong thing. And that's where integrity comes in. Let's just zero in on lying, for example, because Paul in the New Testament uses the word conscience when he's referring to lying. And he says this, and this is Romans chapter 9, verse 1. He says, I am not lying. I'm telling the truth. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. Whoa, very interesting. Now, the Holy Spirit is also, the Holy Spirit's a person. The conscience is just a mechanism. The conscience is in every person, whether they're a believer or not. When a person's a Christian, then they have this extra power of the Holy Spirit at work inside of them that also convicts us of sin, points us in toward truth, doing the right thing. So the Holy Spirit is a super power inside of us that does a lot of the things that the conscience does. But that doesn't mean that a Christian doesn't have a conscience anymore. Mm-hmm. Or the Holy Spirit takes the place of the conscience. The conscience is still used, but even used by the Holy Spirit to bring about change. So let's start there. Mm-hmm. Because I think as we as adults, let's just talk about adults for a minute.
Yeah.
As we adults become more sensitive to those messages of the conscience,
yeah.
You know, oh man, I yelled at that person. I need to apologize. Or, oh, I need to finish this job because that's the right thing to do. Or, oh, there's someone that's hurting over there. I need to care for them. Those are all different aspects of the conscience, but they're not all about, you know, I've done the wrong thing.
Yeah.
They're all about this powerful force inside of us, the conscience, this piece of equipment that I think parents can activate. So this is the key. Okay. We want to activate the conscience more than it's already being activated. And I think this is where the parental voice fits in. I think this is where parents, if you're trying to deal with our, as adults, as our own consciences, then we are sensitive to this prompting that the conscience provides. It's this internal mechanism that becomes so powerful. So activating it is going to be key. So we activate it in the lives of children with the words that we use, the things that we say, the teaching we provide. So it's not all about just correcting kids for their lying. It's about, let's talk about the conscience. And this will be very helpful as we're working with kids.
Yeah, I think I fully agree with you. I think it's not just one element that develops the conscience. I think it's just the entire experience a child goes through as they are at school, as they are at home. How do they start their morning? How do they start their day? What happens during that time? What are they filled in as they start their day? What kind of spiritual food they get and what kind of information they absorb so early in the morning, up until late at night, before they go to bed, and what happens then. And I think that many of us parents don't have a lot of influence on what happens at school. If we are sending our children to school, if you're homeschooling, it's different. But if you are sending your child to school, it's not so much that you can influence there. But I think at home, there's a lot of influence you still have. And I really believe that the words we use and how we, not only how we act as parents, but also are we opening God's word? Are we spending time, even the small amount of time we can afford with our children in God's word? Are we listening to music that's, worshiping the Lord? Are we really, using the word and trying to help children like sponges absorb as much about the Lord as we can? I think that's something that we definitely can help, we do to help our children develop that conscience, Dr. Scott. Is that so?
Yeah. See, now you're working in the heart. And I really like that, because the Bible says not only is the conscience in the heart, Hebrews teaches us that, but also the Holy Spirit's in the heart, desires in the heart, all kinds are in the heart. But one of the things that the Bible says is I will hide God's word in my heart so that I won't sin against you, because the conscience is always looking for a standard, you know, and this standard becomes very important for children as we're trying to help them to grow and develop. So we want them to be able to catch this in some very powerful ways. And so, yeah, the scriptures become this very important tool for our kids as we're trying to help them to grow and develop.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go back to something you said earlier about, the strength of character. And I think sometimes we really don't openly talk with our children about character qualities. We don't really define to them. I mean, I'm not saying we should have a lecture to define things for them, but what I'm saying is that we're doing things without necessarily pointing or letting them know what we're trying to do. We know we want to work on specific character qualities and we want them to get to listen better or to have a different response when we ask them something, you know, even smaller things. But in the end, what we're trying to do is develop their character. And my question is, Dr. Scott, I believe that they will help our children will develop stronger character and stronger conscience if we perhaps would be also more apt to speak with them about that. How do you agree with that? And how would you go about doing that if that is so?
Okay, so let's start first of all with this thought that most children do not have the internal strength of character to be able to handle the electronics that they are given. Mm. They need more parental control. I'm not just talking about setting up parental controls. I'm talking about parents stepping in and controlling the length of time or the times of day that a child's on their computer, tablet, or iPhone, or whatever. What we're doing is recognizing that character is a prerequisite for electronics. And a child who demonstrates poor character may need limits, significant limits on the electronics because they're just getting in the way of this child's ability to grow. So let's start there. But let me also say that if you're going to help a child develop a particular character quality, that means that you're going to make it practical. You can't just say what, you know, you need to be more compassionate. You need to be more honest. The question is how. Yeah. And the character, when we talk about character qualities using a heart-based approach, we're jumping into the how. And we talk about building in children this character. We're talking about developing a working definition of character. The character means, or integrity means, being able to get off the computer at the agreed upon time without me having to remind you. That's what integrity is. Integrity is being able to do your homework without getting on YouTube videos at the same time. Do you see how practical those definitions are? This is how we teach character to children. We define character. We define what the character quality is we're going to use, but we do it in practical terms that are age specific or even child specific, that the integrity is going to look different for one child than it does for another. So these working definitions become huge opportunities for children to see what this looks like in practical terms.
Yeah. I really like that, what you said earlier about the fact that character is a prerequisite for how children are using electronics. And I think that every child is a bit different. And I notice with Joshua, he doesn't have a phone yet. He only is allowed to use our tablet if he wants to play. But also with the TV and with the phone, it's such an obsession, which I can simply not understand why is this desire to continuously spend time in front of a screen. And my question to you is, how do we know or should, and how should we feel as parents, about actually giving specific times, being, you know, without, let's say, feeling guilty for it, because I know there's a time that children need to spend in front of their computers for doing their homework, for doing things, but how can we learn as parents to know what is the right amount of time for a child to have on a device? How can we, practical tips that we can have to know how to whether limit their time or maybe they're allowed a bit more time? How do we learn that and how do we do that?
Okay, it's a lot of stuff there. Let me say this. The reason a child wrestles with this so much, or they're drawn in, sucked into it so much, is because of desires inside of the heart. And video games and YouTube videos and whatever it might be on the electronic side, social media, it draws a person in because of desires inside of the heart. I want to know things, or I like the feeling that it gives me there, and to win, get to the next level, or to challenge this game. Especially young boys or young men love video games that are problem solving type things, where they're you know, they get into the situation, they're trying to build a castle or fight against an enemy or whatever it is. They really like that because it's built into their human person of who they are. So yes, it appeals to us on a number of different fronts. That's why it's so important to develop character, because when something appeals to us, even as adults, when something appeals to us in a particular way, it's character that's going to balance that out. It's what's going to slow down the pursuit of a desire. When desires get strong, then they become temptations in our lives. They go the wrong directions. And so there's a lot of things we can do. I think if we're going to work on electronics in children and set limits, we're going to acknowledge the fact that most children need to be on electronics. That doesn't mean most children need cell phones, but most children have to be, as you said, connected to electronics or learning more about electronics as they're growing. I think that's okay. But there has to be some limits to that. And as parents, we come in and provide some of those limits for our kids, and they're going to take place in a number of different ways. I think that, like I already said, we're going to limit the amount of time a child's on screens of any kind. We're going to limit the, certainly at times of day. So there's a certain time at night when they're turned off. Yeah. So children aren't sleeping with their cell phones, as many do today, and don't get enough sleep. Some children, you know, people, not just children, but everybody brings their cell phones to the table. And so eating a meal together should be a sacred time when cell phones are parked somewhere, or when we're riding in the vehicle to get from one place to another is a great time. So we limit cell phone use, especially at strategic times for kids. Some parents set up guidelines that, hey, we're not going to have any electronics between during the week, but maybe on Saturday or Sunday, we can watch. You can watch some electronics. So it depends on every child. Every child's unique and different, and we have to set those guidelines accordingly. But also, we're going to recognize as parents that it's not just about electronics. Okay, it's a bigger picture. It's called the balanced life.
Yeah.
And so, what do we want for our children? We want them to be able to have face-to-face interactions, physical activity. We want them to be creative. We want them to use other means of entertainment in order to be able to be independent with their entertainment. There's so many things we want that if we define balance, now we're coming with something positive. We're not just saying to our kids, stop electronics. We're saying we're eager for the balanced life. So that's what we're moving toward. There's so many different more things that we could talk about, but and such an important area. But as we develop integrity in the lives of our children, we're really trying to help them by just recommend. Remember this principle: accountability increases a greater sense of obligation. Now, if you believe that and you understand that, then you're going to hold your child accountable by looking at their internet history. You're going to have them work on their homework out in the in a public area. You're not going to have computers out in a private space. You're going to have accountability because you're going to look at their text threads. This kind of accountability increases a sense of obligation, and obligation is foundational for being responsible. And this is all part of the integrity we want to develop in our children. So think broadly about a balance, about accountability, and this gives you, as a parent, a greater sense of what this is going to look like when you try to implement any form of integrity in the area of electronics management.
Yeah, and I think it's something which we spoke earlier also about the fact that it's just not one thing or another. It's a multitude of factors that are influencing how our children develop their integrity, how are they develop their character, but in a long term, and the reason why we want that for them, which of course we can share with them every step of the way so they can for themselves realize and understand what we're trying, why we're doing what we're doing. Dr. Scott, we come close to the end of our episode today. Before we leave, are there any thoughts you want to share with us?
Yes. Let me say this. In response to your earlier comment about, you know, even as adults, as Christians, how are we going to manage some of these things? Let me say this. The family is a laboratory for growth. We all need to develop integrity in our lives. We all need to develop ability to manage our anger. So if we look at the family as a space of growth, then great things can happen in our lives, and our children can benefit a lot. And the reason I wrote this book, How a Heart-Based Approach to Parenting Changes Everything, is because I wanted to give parents very specific ways that they could implement a heart-based approach and see what it looks like in practical terms. It's not just theory. I mean, let's look at arguing. Let's look at anger. Let's look at electronics. Let's look at correction. Let's look at sibling conflict. All these things are in this book, and they're really driving parents to what a heart-based approach looks like in practical terms. That's what I wish for the parents that we're working with.
Yeah, and we do pray that parents that are listening to this podcast, and not only parents, but carers or grandparents, that they get wisdom and God blesses them with wisdom and with courage and with humility and patience to deal with and to approach situations in the right way. That's our prayer for every parent out there listening. And yeah. If there is a lot of interest to learn more, there's so much more information available at your website, biblicalparenting.org. There's also information here on the podcast, more podcasts with different topics. So we encourage parents, grandparents, carers to listen, to share whenever is possible. And we are also open to questions. If there are any questions, please reach out to us and we would be more than happy to try to support. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for this time together. And until next time, we would like to pray for a God blessing and goodbye.